Pray before we begin. Lord, as we study this passage together, may we learn more of who you are and who we are in Christ. Amen. Today's passage, it is a great story. There's so much going on. And so many aspects that we could actually focus on, try to unpack. But this morning, I don't want us to do that. Instead, I'd like us to zoom out so we can see the big picture. Bring the main storyline of the Bible into view. And then return to this passage. And see how it fits into all of that. So first, what is the big picture? In a sentence, Scripture reveals who God is and his purposes. In the beginning, he created everything, made human beings in his own image, and appointed them as stewards of his world. Man and woman walked with God in a relationship. The Garden of Eden is a picture of that, perfection. But sin entered the world through Adam and destroyed all of that. It severed our relationship with God. This is explained within the first few pages of the Bible. And the rest of Scripture, right through to the end, shows God working out his purposes to bring people, bring us back into a relationship with him. Restore things back to the way they were always meant to be. To do that, God chose Abraham and his seed, one single family through which to bless all the families of the world. That blessing was transmitted from Abraham through to Isaac, then Jacob. Transmitted along that narrow family line, and then it widened, it branched out to include the children of Israel, from which King David came. And at the end of it all, the Messiah will be born and blessing will come to all on earth. This is the message of Scripture. And Genesis 27, today's passage, it's a picture of how God does that. We've just looked at the route through which God's blessing travelled. So let us look at the how God chose to work out his purposes to bless us. Does he take perfect people from perfect, neat little families? No. He chose ordinary, fallible people like Abraham, like Isaac. Some people, Tom mentioned this last week, some people put Old Testament characters on some sort of pedestal, paint them as these near perfect human beings. But Scripture tells us otherwise. Abraham pretended his wife was his sister on two occasions, and Isaac. Let us now return to today's passage and see. Please look with me at verse 29, where Isaac blesses Jacob. He says, "May nations serve you, and peoples bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." This information is key. It tells us the divine promises of God, that blessing. The inheritance was transmitted from Isaac through to Jacob. Why then is that crucial information surrounded by this story of a family at war. It's great. I love the fact it's here in the Bible, the tension, suspense. It's like the stuff that great TV dramas are made of. Isaac and Rebecca, his wife, each had a favourite child. Chapter 25, verses 27 to 28. Isaac favoured Esau, the eldest, so wanted to pass a blessing onto him. But Rebecca wanted it for Jacob. This, of course, caused problems. Let us take a brief look at each character in turn. First, Isaac. When Rebecca was pregnant with the boys, Esau and Jacob were twins. The Lord made it clear that the youngest, that's Jacob, was to receive the blessing. Isaac knew this, but chose to ignore the living God and follow his own desires instead, chose his own wisdom above that of God. And Rebecca, now in verses 1 to 4 of our passage, we saw how Isaac makes plans to bless Esau in secret. He tells his son to prepare him, bring him a bowl of soup first. Verse 5 reads, Rebecca was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. Listening, she was spying on them. And just look at the lengths that she goes to trick her husband into thinking Jacob was Esau. This lady gets right down to business, in the kitchen, preparing the stew. And while it's simmering, searching the tent for one of Esau's outfits. Then helps Jacob to get dressed up. And even covers his smooth hands with goat skin, so they may feel like Esau's to the touch. He must have been a very hairy man. Finally, Rebecca hurries Jacob, who's carrying the stew, hurries him towards his father so he may receive the blessing. But not too far behind him is Esau, who's carrying his bowl of stew, which he had prepared, and is en route to the tent as well. Who will get there first? This is like, it's like the great soup race, where they're trying to reach a finishing line, trying to reach Isaac without spilling a drop. Only poor Esau isn't even aware that he is taking part. Rebecca knew what she was doing. This is all premeditated stuff. At what point did trust depart from that marriage? And what about the boys? Well, Jacob, he was a willing participant in this deception. But poor Esau, upon hearing that Jacob received the blessing, verse 34, halfway down, says, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said, bless me too, my father. Gut-wrenching stuff. But don't feel too sorry for this lad, because earlier he willingly gave up his birthright all for a bowl of soup, verse 25, traded in his future because he wanted pleasure in the here and now. Tom spoke about that last week. None of these people was without flaws. But he, the Lord, was not ashamed to be their God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. These are the very types of people that God uses. Men and women mixed up in circumstances, sin, complex relationships, psychological flaws. We can all, I guess, identify to a degree with these characters as parents, carers, as being someone's child, brother or sister, as being part of the body of Christ here at St. Mildred's. We have all seen squabbles or know of families falling apart. Does God reject us? Back to our passage. Out of that mess and subsequent story of Jacob being deceitful towards his uncle Laban, which we'll hear about in later weeks, out of this chaos came the greatest act of salvation in the history of the Jews. The story of Exodus, the children of Israel's escape from slavery in Egypt, how God delivered them from that, which is celebrated in Psalm 105, verses 5 to 11 reads, "Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced, O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenants forever, the words he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made to Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit." That act of salvation has been celebrated by Jews throughout history and by Jesus during the Lord's Supper. The blessing of Abraham, it comes to us all. All who believe will receive full salvation. They will be renewed in Christ. I remember a chat that I had once with a guy who we'll call Gary. It was here at St. Mildred's. He came to worship with us a few times and then disappeared. It happens, doesn't it? Anyway, one day I bumped into him and I invited him back to come and worship with us. Gary said that he would not return until he'd sorted himself out, turned his life around. He was adamant that to do otherwise would be disrespectful to God. And that was about 8 years ago. Sadly, I have not seen him since. How many people like him are out there this morning when they should be here with us, worshipping this morning, sat in those empty seats? Have you? Have you ever said something to yourself like, "I'm not good enough for God. I've let myself down, let God down through self-centeredness, bearing a grudge, impatience. How can he possibly love me?" Or simply ask yourself, "How can I be sure of his love?" When doubts creep in, and they will, Look back at what God has been doing throughout history. Fix your eyes on the cross. He chose to bring us his salvation through it, through Christ, who poured himself out for us, for you and for me, so that we could be with him and him with us again. This is love. The story of Isaac and his family has been preserved in Scripture to help you, help me, to understand and remember where we fit in the purposes of God. He will never forsake his purposes. You are part of that. Why then would he ever forsake you? His gift to us, hands up, yes, it's undeserved, but oh, so freely given. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that through Scripture you reveal who you are and your purposes. Lord, help each one of us by your Holy Spirit to better understand where we fit in all of that. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths, for you are God our Saviour, and our hope is in you all day long. Amen.